It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Yesterday, the U.S. Senate voted overwhelmingly in favor of what has been described as the most significant overhaul of the nation's immigration laws in a generation. The Senate bill provides a path to citizenship for the 11 million unauthorized immigrants in the country, as well as a tough border security provision before the immigrants can gain legal status. Pennsylvania senators were split on legislation, with Democrat Bob Casey voting in favor of it and Republican Pat Toomey voting against it. The bill now moves on to the House, where it is expected to receive strong resistance. Joining me now by phone to discuss the pros and cons of this legislation is an immigration attorney and former U.S. diplomat, Kamina Mather. Kamina Mather, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Good morning.
Also with us in studio is Rohith Darwadkar, who is also an immigration attorney with Elliott and Davis Law Firm in Pittsburgh. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH at WESA.FM. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. What do you think of the bill passed by the U.S. Senate yesterday? Should tighter border security be in place before a path to citizenship is created for the millions of unauthorized immigrants in the country? What concerns do you have about immigration and how it's being handled in the United States? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Kamina Mather, let's begin with you. Now that an immigration reform bill has passed the Senate and moved on to the House, do you think we could finally see immigration reform?
Well, I think this is the best time for immigration reform to pass in recent years. We have not had any immigration reform since 1986, and we have tried every year. Bills have been presented, and good bills have been presented to reform immigration. But at this time, there seems to be tremendous and overwhelming bipartisan support for immigration reform. The Senate bill passed 68-32, which is a supermajority. It's going to be much more difficult in the House, obviously, but I think if it is to pass, this is the best time.
And Rohith Darwadkar, are we on the verge of finally seeing substantial immigration reform in the United States, in your opinion?
I think we are, simply because of some of the provisions that were included recently, including the security provisions that will definitely help out some members of Congress to be in favor of the bill.
Should tougher border security provisions be in place before immigrants can gain legal status? This seems to be one of the big sticking points for the legislators, the senators who were concerned about this bill, and it's certainly going to come up in the House as well. Kamina Mather, I'll let you comment on this first. What about these tougher border security provisions and the idea that this has to be in place before you can create a path to citizenship for the millions of immigrants who are in the United States as undocumented immigrants?
Well, I don't think it should be prerequisite. Our border security is already pretty tough. I mean, it's been during the Obama administration, and actually every year, the spending on border patrols and security has skyrocketed. We've deported almost 393,000 people in 2010. We're already spending a lot on it, and we need to continue that process and make sure that those who are not authorized to enter are unable to enter. But at the same time, we need to make headway in other areas, and it needs to be done together just to make it clear, people are not immediately going to be getting permanent residence. There's a 13-year pathway to permanent residence. They will have to pass extensive background checks, where even if they've violated a PFA, they will not be eligible. So even little things, habitual drunk driving, will make it, they will be ineligible. So therefore, it's not an easy process, and they will have to pay a lot of fines, they'll have to pay back taxes, and they will not be eligible to apply for permanent status until 13 years. So I think it's already a very difficult path for them to become permanent residents, and we need to start the process.
Is this the just and humane reform that many people have been pushing for. This is a 13-year path, as you mentioned, Kamana. And is this the ideal system?
It's not. I don't think it's the ideal. I mean, there's some provisions that I think are extremely, extremely oppressive and make it very, very difficult. But at the same time, this was what was needed to get it passed. And getting a reform package like this passed is better than what was in place. It has a lot of very, very good things. And the fact that a bipartisan group of eight senators was able to come up with this and pass it with a supermajority, I think, is a credit to our Congress, that for the first time in recent years, they've been able to work together to pass a comprehensive reform package that makes sense.
Rohith, I wanted to get your take on the border security provisions. Should this be a prerequisite for creating a path to citizenship?
I personally don't feel it should be a prerequisite, but in the end, if we're going to get this bill through Congress, that's what's going to be necessary. The larger concern on the conservative side is definitely border security, filtering out the individuals that will be coming through, and of course the larger concern of how do we stop future individuals from crossing the border. So obviously elements such as a 700-mile fence, 20,000 additional border agents, those are all things that will go towards that end, I believe.
Is that going to prevent illegal immigrants from entering into the country?
Certainly I don't think it can be 100% that it's going to prevent it. It's going to happen. And bear in mind that a lot of the illegal immigrants here are also individuals who entered on visas and overstayed. Excuse me. So it's not just people that cross a border, come across a fence, things in that situation. So one of the things to consider is how to deal with individuals who overstay. And this bill that came through the Senate does have a provision for monitoring individuals who come in on non-immigrant visas, their entry and their exit.
And what about the just and humane aspect of this? As Kamana mentioned, there is a long path to citizenship for the 11 million people in this country who are really in limbo, who are wondering when the knock is going to come on at their door and they're going to be exported from the country. What is your opinion of the way this is being laid out and this particular path, long as it might be?
In that sense, I would say, you know, there will be what's known as the RPI status, which is something called a registered provisional immigrant. At least they'll be able to travel, have work authorization. Is it completely humane? Probably not in a full sense, but at the same time, it gives individuals the chance to not have to live in the shadows anymore. So for that, I think that's a definite positive, especially for individuals that have families, young children, and going about just daily life.
We're talking about the Senate bill that was passed yesterday that provides a path to citizenship for the 11 million unauthorized immigrants in the country, as well as tough border security provisions before the immigrants can gain legal status. That bill has moved on to the House, where its status remains uncertain. It's certainly expected to receive strong resistance. We're wondering what you think about this legislation. Is this the right way to go with immigration reform in the United States? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address again, esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. I wanted to run by both of you the quote from Senator Pat Toomey, who voted against the Senate bill. Our two senators in Pennsylvania split their votes on the bill. Bob Casey voted in favor of it, Pat Toomey against it. And Senator Pat Toomey said, and I quote, "I voted against the Gang of Eight immigration bill because, among other reasons, it does not solve the fundamental problem of our current immigration policy, namely inadequate legal immigration and guest worker provisions for low-skilled workers," end quote. And he goes on to say that the bill misses the mark and that if enacted, it would guarantee the next wave of illegal immigration. What is your response to what he's saying here? And Kamana Mather, I'll throw that to you first.
Well, I think he's absolutely incorrect. I think the bill is good, and it's much better than laws that were passed and were previously, because it does have a guest worker provision for the W visa, which would permit individuals to come in as a guest worker and come here legally. And in order to stop illegal immigration, we need to find a legal path for people to come and work when it is demonstrated that there are no Americans able to do those jobs. And I know in an era of high unemployment, people find that difficult to believe, but it is a fact that there are backbreaking jobs, that very strenuous backbreaking jobs with very, very low pay that Americans are not willing to do, and they're seasonal jobs. For example, picking crops, the need is there for a short period of time. And if we're able to get these workers who need to feed their families, they want to come here for legitimate reasons to support their family, to earn a living, and then go back once they've made their money. If we offer them a legal path, then it will help eliminate even the incentive to come here illegally. And that's what we need to go for, instead of just saying, oh, we'll erect a border and prevent people from coming. We really need to get to the root of the problem, and that is finding a way for people who need to come here legally, who can come legally, without taking away American jobs.
Rohit Dharwadkar, is it a good idea to allow people to come into the country temporarily and we hear this phrase thrown out quite a bit, and perform the jobs that Americans just won't do?
Absolutely, I think so. If the need is there and the position is not being filled, certain services need to be provided, and these individuals are willing to provide the services at the rates that they're given. Absolutely. How can we deny that part of our economy, which is clearly lacking with a workforce? The workforce is there and willing and able.
What makes this push for reform different from past efforts? Kamana Mathur, you were very much when you talked about how long it's been since we've had anything even close to the majority of support that there is in the Senate for this particular bill, the supermajority, as you pointed out. What makes it different? And why do you get the sense that so many legislators are on board with this?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, it does have a lot of provisions to appease those who want stricter borders. And there are a lot of controls, as Rohit also mentioned, in terms of E-Verify and other things to make sure, because we have to not only prevent illegals from coming, and we have to, if we deny them employment, if they come here illegally through E-Verify and other methods, they're not going to come. So I think the political climate is also different. I mean, I think the Republicans are suffering a loss in the recent presidential election, and they realize that it was due to their failure to pass or support immigration reform. And, for example, Senator Lindsey Graham himself said that we're in a demographic death spiral as a party, and the only way to get back into the good graces of the Hispanic community is to pass comprehensive reform, which is essential for their survival as a party. Because Hispanics have a tremendous voting power, and you can't ignore them.
And Rohit Dharwadkar, we've seen a bipartisan effort on this issue. Some might say, as Kamana is pointing out, that it's more about political gain than an actual reflection of the country's changing demographics. What do you think about this?
I also think it does have to do with political gain. I think
with Republicans formulating a way to improve the party's standing with Hispanics?
Absolutely. They've found that in the last election they were greatly affected by the Latino vote, and that is not going to change any time in the future unless they understand and gather the votes from those individuals. And so absolutely, I feel there is a political motivation behind part of this, but I'd like to also hope there's a bit of a humanitarian one as well.
We are talking about immigration reform here on Essential Pittsburgh with immigration attorney and former U.S. diplomat Kamana Mathur. And also in studio with us is Rohit Dharwadkar, who is also an immigration attorney with Elliott and Davis Law Firm in Pittsburgh. We'd like to hear from you. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. 412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation and weigh in with your thoughts about the Senate bill that passed yesterday. It's on to the House. Where do you think the United States needs to go with immigration reform? That's the topic here on Essential Pittsburgh, and we'll continue after this break on 90.5 WESA.
This is 90.5 WESA, Pittsburgh's NPR News Station. Find our complete program schedule online at WESA.fm.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about the issue of immigration reform and the bill that was passed in the Senate yesterday. It's on to the House, where critics feel the bill could run into trouble. We're discussing whether we could finally see immigration reform and the form that it should take with two area immigration attorneys. Kamina Mather, who is also a former U.S. diplomat, who is joining us by phone, and Rohith Darwadkar, who is also an immigration attorney and works here in Pittsburgh for the firm of Elliott and Davis. And we'd like to welcome you to the conversation. If you have a comment or question for our guests, 412-246-2002, 412-246-2002, the number to call. What do you think of the bill passed by the Senate yesterday? Does it include all of the right provisions, or is there something that is missing, in your opinion? Should tighter border security be in place before a path to citizenship is created for the millions of unauthorized immigrants in the country, as this bill suggests? 412-246-2002 is the number to call, and our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. If you want to reach us on Twitter, essspgh, you can follow the conversation at #EPLive. Are there any myths about immigration reform that still need to be overcome, Kamina Mather?
Well, the majority, I think, of Americans still tend to believe that immigrants take away U.S. jobs. And that's not really true. And some people also say that it depresses wages. And I would object to that as well, because, first of all, in order to hire a foreigner, an employer must pay the prevailing wage. It must be determined that they're paying what an American would pay. And in some instances, one of my clients actually, because they had to pay her a higher wage and they were paying the other employers less, the American employees less, they had to actually raise the wages for all the employees. So hiring this immigrant professor raised the wages for all the other professors. But in terms of taking away jobs, these H-1B and other temporary workers actually create innovation. They file patents. They add. They create jobs for the economy. A lot of the multi-million dollar companies in the United States were founded by immigrants. And in addition to obviously enhancing the intellectual property and the research that has been added by immigrants, so they do not actually take away jobs. And that, I think, is perhaps the biggest myth. Now, there are some instances where an individual may not have gotten a job and it was filled by a foreigner, but you have to look at the totality of the evidence. I have had a congressman's aide tell me when I was in Capitol Hill the other day that a constituent called him and said, I didn't get the job, but some foreigner got it. Some guy from India got it. And so they went and investigated it to see what was happening. Well, the American citizen had a 2.0 GPA and kind of wiled his way through college, while the Indian citizen, the Indian national who was hired, had a 4.0 GPA and was a valedictorian. Now, you have to think, if you're going to a doctor, would you want the 4.0 GPA to be doing surgery on you, or would you want the 2.0 GPA per individual doing? And not to say that there are not some cases where there may be a bright young person who was not able to get a job. I mean, it is times are hard right now, but normally that's in industries that are not in as high demand and in industries where foreigners are not being hired.
And you're certainly talking about the example that you give, Kamina, is about is an example of a job that's at the high end of the spectrum. But what about some of the less desirable jobs where immigrants can be taken advantage of if they are undocumented. For example, in the Midwest, one of the things that we sometimes hear about are the meatpacking plants where where immigrants are hired and they are in less than desirable working conditions, perhaps unsafe working conditions, being paid not even a minimum wage by U.S. standards. And yet, because the employer knows that the worker has no recourse against them, they can take advantage of them because they are not, they don't have the proper documentation.
Well, that's exactly why this bill is so good and we must pass it. It will bring these people out of the shadows. They will be legal, and they it will prevent exploitation by employers, and that is rampant. I mean, these meatpacking industries, I mean, nobody wanted to do this. They were paid nothing. I mean, I have had clients come to me saying they had to work as a slave for a year before they were released, earning nothing. And people are, so we really need to crack down enforcement, and I think we're doing that with this bill. And I think we're offering a legal path for people to come so they don't have to hide and they don't have to be afraid. And we as a humanitarian nation, and we are a humanitarian nation, we're a compassionate nation. We don't want people, whether they're Americans or whether they're foreign nationals, to be treated in this fashion and to be fearful for their own lives just because they want to feed their families.
Rohith Darwadkar, what myths about immigration reform do you think still need to be overcome?
Well, I think one of them certainly is that that the reform will have a negative financial impact on the country. The CBO recently released some information regarding the bill. This was before the amendment that went in on Wednesday, but indicating that the deficit would be lowered by $197 billion in 10 years and up to $700 billion in 20 years. It also indicated that the GDP would increase by 3.3% in by 2023 and up to 5.4% by 2033. So these are all indications that the reform will have a positive financial impact on the country overall. And I think the other thing is that there's a myth that all immigrants that come in are low-wage earners, that individuals that are doing jobs. However, a lot of them are on various visas who have overstayed or are currently on the visas that are high-end jobs such as H-1B visa jobs that all require a bachelor's degree or higher that extremely contribute to our economy. These are individuals that pay their taxes and contribute in a very effective manner.
And you have said, Kamina Mather, you said that most immigrants don't take jobs but create them. And you also cited some statistics, Rohith, about the GDP being positively affected by the infusion of immigrants into our society. How does this happen? How does, for example, an increased amount of immigration, how does that create jobs?
Well, first of all, a lot of foreign nationals or immigrants come here and they start companies, and that itself is direct hiring. I mean, they come here and they start businesses and IT companies and things like that, which they're known for. But also, again, they're innovators. I mean, these are people who have given up the home that they have lived in and all their familiar surroundings to come to a strange country, like the pilgrims of the past. They've come to escape oppression or to feed their family. For whatever reason, they've come here. They're innovators. They're people who add to the intellectual property and come up with new ideas that in turn create jobs.
And is this as good a time as any for immigration reform, in your opinion?
I think this is the best time for immigration reform. I think there's strong bipartisan support. I think the majority of Americans support sensible immigration reform, balanced with the need to control the stem of stem the flow of illegal immigration. And this is a very balanced bill. It gives something to all sides, and I think it's time we did something, and the time is now. Call your senators. I mean, call your congressmen now.
A lot of folks might be wondering about the impact in the Pittsburgh area. We have world-famous universities and businesses, you know, Eds and Meds, as it's called here in Pittsburgh, where a lot of research goes on. Talk about how this legislation will help to attract a more diverse talent pool that will help a region like Pittsburgh with where our emphasis is now?
Well, there will be new visa categories for young college students who want to start a business. Previously, you had to find employment, and an employer had to sponsor you, or you had to have an immediate relative, a family member, to sponsor you. But now, there's an increasing emphasis on entrepreneurship, on anyone who can demonstrate they can get a certain amount of money. They don't have to provide it themselves. They can raise it, and they have an idea that's going to lead to a successful business, that's going to add to, you know, the intellectual property of the United States. I mean, there are now different categories that will help them be able to just say, okay, I'm graduating from CMU. I have this brilliant idea, and, you know, I can get the money because everyone recognizes it's such a great idea. I can get a visa just because of that, because I can demonstrate that I'll be creating jobs. And they will have to do that. They'll have to create jobs. They'll have to invest the money and start the business. And if they can do that, they'll have a way to stay here without having to go to some employer and say, hire me or something of that sort. And I think that's great.
We're talking about the issue of immigration reform and the Senate bill that was passed yesterday with a couple of immigration attorneys who work in this area. Immigration attorney and former U.S. diplomat Kamina Mather, and also Rohith Darwadkar, who is an immigration attorney with Elliott & Davis Law Firm in Pittsburgh. 412-246-2002, the number to call to join the conversation. And we have Sundish in Pittsburgh who wants to join the conversation. Sundish, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. So my question is the bill going to affect any lawful permanent residents, such as those holding a green card or just having legal temporary stay, sort of, or is it solely for undocumented immigrants?
It will definitely help people on green cards as well, because there's also a provision to help families and treat families of green card holders on par with U.S. citizens in terms of sponsoring a spouse. So it should definitely have, some benefits, and it will also remove the backlog. It's right now, if you're from India or China, you may have to wait a long period of time to sponsor, if you get married. And under this bill, there are provisions to remove that backlog, eliminate it, so that you can get your sponsor your spouse or immediate relative much sooner than in the past.
Rohith, as an immigration attorney, what concerns do you hear most often from people needing your services?
Well, to echo one of Kamina's earlier points, I get a call at least once a week from either a CMU grad student or a Pitt grad student saying, I've got this great idea that I want to take to fruition. And there's not much that we can do for them at that point. These individuals are not permitted to just start the business and begin working for it. So one of the things this bill does do is certainly allows for visas for startups, which is great. And there will also be, of course, an increase in the number of H-1B visas, which this year the cap.
And what are those?
H-1B visas are visas for individuals who have a bachelor's degree or higher in a specialized knowledge position. And the cap for that this year filled up in, I believe, about a week or so. And so the increase in that would certainly help bring in individuals who have these higher earning positions that that need to meet prevailing wage requirements, which would be absolutely great.
Before we wrap up, one last question I'll pose to each of you, and I'm sure you hear this argument a lot. There are many people who would argue with what is being proposed in Congress right now, that creating the path to citizenship for 11 million unauthorized immigrants is unfair to the immigrants who have come to the country and, as it's been said, followed the rules, done what they were supposed to do. So when you hear that argument, how do you respond to the question of how is this fair to people who followed the letter of the law?
That is a concern to many people from India that people who have waited a long time in order to have the privilege to immigrate to the United States. And as someone who's immigrated myself, I know all about that, and I sympathize with it. And the good thing about this bill is that because of the 13-year wait, they will not be able to get their green cards or get permanent status before anyone who's already in line or waiting to get the green card. It absolutely states that those who are already trying to, get their green card in a legal way should not have to wait or should not be put behind these undocumented individuals who came in violation of the law. So I think it does address that issue, and rightly so. I totally agree that the people who are doing the right thing and waiting in line, I mean, they should definitely not have to wait behind all these others who have come in without, for whatever reason, they've come in, but they have to wait. The people who have entered legally or who are in the process will get their visas first before the undocumented will be able to.
Rohit, we'll let you have the last word.
Yeah, I would just like to also mention that, these individuals, these 11.5 million individuals, the thing to keep in mind is that they are a member of our society and they are a part of our America. And so, yes, they are going to have to wait, and the other individuals in line first will get the priority. So that's the thing to keep in mind. But let's not forget that these individuals are a part of who we are. This point.
Immigration attorneys Kamina Mather and Rohit Darwadkar joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. Thank you both for being a part of this conversation.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll learn about the latest device giving parents a window into the mobile apps their kids are downloading. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.